We're back with a new edition. So we'll start. DB, how are you, bud? You're doing good?
I'm doing pretty well, I guess. You know, just doing my thing. Gonna hit some nukes tonight.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
I thought you would work.
Nah. Finagled my way out.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So when his work people listen to this, they know he finagled his way out. So cool. That's awesome. Papa John's, we got him right here.
Yes, all
right,
sir.
And our newest member, Coleman Garnier, my brother, playing down in Atlanta in the NA3 right now, down in the trenches, the dirty south.
The dirty south trenches.
Miss those days.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Absolutely mucking away down in the trenches right now.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
It's another five-letter leaguer for the pod.
Yes, sir. We're outnumbering you.
We outnumber you now, bud.
Yeah, I got tendered by Missoula, so I technically count.
Did you play there? Did you play a game?
No, I played high school.
Hit 80 plus.
Hit 80 plus PIMS anyway, so it's fine.
20 points, 80 PIMS.
Yep, 20 points, 80 PIMS. Story of my life.
Still adds up to 100.
So, well, I guess we'll go right into it. 80 points, 20 PIMS. Jason Robertson. All right, so, I mean, Robertson's had a great year so far. We'll get right into the heart conversation. Coleman, we'll start with DB. DB, what are you thinking? Jason Robertson, heart? Who you got for the heart?
I think it's Jason Robertson, heart. Honestly, he's had a great season so far. I know earlier, well, not even earlier, like, what, a minute and a half, or not even, maybe 5 minutes ago, I was saying fucking Jason shit. Robertson shit. It was just to make you mad.
Yeah, I get it. So we're going to go to Coleman now because I think Coleman's got some stats for us on Robertson.
Oh,
I do.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm the new stat guy now. So yeah. 26 games this year, 23 goals, nearly a goal per game pace. If he keeps anything even close to that, he is my number one all year.
It's not close. What if he hits 70 and just shits on Austin?
That would be insane.
It'd be fucking hilarious. Be awesome. Yeah, he's got my vote. If I had to vote today for the heart, if I was able to vote for the heart, and you know, maybe one day, but he'd have my vote without a doubt as of the season sits right now. And well, you know what? We'll stay on goal scorers real quick. I got a fun stat for you guys. Connor Bedard, DB's fuming. He goes, fucking stats. This isn't math class. So Bedard.
Let's hear it.
27 game point streak. He had 27 goals and 37 assists in those 27 games for 64 points. That puts him on pace for 65 goals, 90 apples, 155 points.
No, that's insane.
That's going to be another guy. That is another guy who's going to give Austin Matthews a run for his money one day.
Oh, totally.
People are already asking the McDavid conversation.
I could see it. I mean, there's things to go, but let's hear Coleman.
My comparison
with Matthews there is every Bedard clip I see when he scores, he makes that exact same, that pull in on the toe drag shot.
Shock and awe.
And he shocks the nice little shock and awe. And he does it better than Matthews.
Dude, that's the sickest way to score goals, honestly.
There we go. My one concern, and I'm going to get shit on for this one, he's a little guy.
That is exactly what I wrote down.
He is a little guy.
I think we all can relate to that.
To being little guys?
Yeah.
Especially
Coleman's like pushing six, right? You know what,
close to it.
Maybe with the force.
And what, you're pushing 5'6"?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Wait, damn. I thought we were talking about shit.
What the?
You know what? We'll keep this in. We'll just ride with it. This is the new era of the podcast where it just takes a turn. Borderline Xbox party material.
It devolves into insanity just 5 minutes in.
Yeah. I'm 7.5 minutes in, but you know, that's cool. That's enough time for me. So while we're on there's no topic that we're even on, but you know what? We'll go to the Columbus Blue Jackets injuries. Werenski, Blankenberg, Texier's gone for, you know, personal family reasons. You know, I believe I'm not going to dive into why.
Twas about to make a fart noise, but I realized I shouldn't have made a fart noise for that guy.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That's why I didn't want to go into it. I don't really want to, you know. Yeah. And now Voracek is potentially career ending. CTE doing the, you know, right foot creep, as DB said earlier. So, you know, I feel bad for the guy, obviously. Great player. It seems like a, you
yeah,
know,
no, like,
funny person.
All jokes aside, that is, it's terrible.
Yeah, I have.
I may have to admit, I did say CTE did right foot creep on him, but it did. I'm right.
And if you look at his Twitter feed in history, he said a lot of things, responded to reporters via Twitter that we could potentially, depending on how this goes, again, I'm just spitballing here, we could see another Antonio Brown.
Yay. The NHL needs one.
Yeah, they do. The NHL needs some personality. I hate to say it. I don't like Antonio Brown, but I mean, when you're poster child for the league right now, well, in the past,
doesn't say more than three words.
Connor McDavid, who probably has three words to his vocabulary.
He's not the poster child right now. The poster child's on the worst team in the league.
The poster child, right? Who's the poster child in your mind?
Trevor Zegras.
Oh, well, yeah.
I like that. I like that.
And they're pushing on everything. But look right now, too, is Jason Robertson, I hate to say this, but coming from a marketability standpoint, he's a Filipino kid from California leading league in goals. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? That's a what's
one. Damn, I was going to make I was going to make I was going to make a snarky comment back saying,
but he didn't. But DB didn't. So, you know what?
I'm learning my way in the world, I guess.
Well,
but
I guess if we're learning, you know, it's really looking to learning. DB, you had a real bad take this summer that I haven't let you live down. And with Coleman joining the pod, I figured I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself.
Great.
DB, I want to know your top five goalies in the NHL. I guess we'll say what, right now?
How do you want to phrase it?
I think based on this season, mostly.
Based on right now, if you had to pick five goalies, who are your top? We'll start with – go in order.
I'm going one – okay, so 5-1 or 1-5?
Let's go 5-1.
We'll go 5-1.
Okay, we'll go 5. I am going to say, this is – okay, so I know my top three. My 4 and 5 are very tough because it can be interchangeable for 7 goalies, I feel like. I want to say 5, Ottinger. I think he's been playing really well as of lately. I know he didn't have, you know, the best start. I mean, he did have a decent start, but lately he's been kicking it. The Stars have been kicking it. Ottinger 5. We're going 4. Ooh. Do I give the Matt Murray plug for the Leafs fans? Just for the memes though.
Sure. Give the Matt Murray plug. He can be your guy.
Leafs, I saw comments on Puck Empire yesterday. Even Panos said that he laughed when he saw people were calling him Hockey Hall of Fame material after they won that game the other night.
Dude, it's Toronto. Everybody and their mother there is Hockey Hall of Fame material.
That's why he gets the meme four for
Mitch Marner's dad would make the Hall of Fame there. All right. We'll go number 3.
Let's go, Paul.
Paul, get on the pod. I'm going
Connor Hellebuck from the Winnipeg Jets.
Okay, 2. Give me 2.
Sorokin.
Give me 1.
Linus Ullmark.
DB,
I think we're living in the same area. I'll tell you that much. Because I'll go next. Coleman has his written down. I just wrote mine down about 5 minutes ago.
I wanna talk about his first one, the 5th overall pick.
Okay.
Because DB did say that he had a bad start to the year.
Or my flip.
But when I was looking into it, thinking about who my top 5 were, I have met my 5th spot still. But it's been rough recently. 4 of his last 5 games, barring the 31 save shutout against Anaheim, have all been below 900.
Then
it's,
I was just
been
flop.
A pretty
that's
rough
my, yeah,
go
that,
for Ottinger
yeah.
the past month.
that's my bad. I was
yeah.
flop.
He had an amazing start to the year though. Which kind of makes up for how it's been recently.
But I'll give you my 5, right? And you guys can shit on me now. 5, I'm going to go with DB's number 1. I'm going to go Ullmark.
That's who I had at my 5, too. It was either Ottinger or Ullmark. Ullmark's – I love Ullmark, but, like, there's so many other like good consistent goalies.
I'm on number one Omar Cater. Trust me.
I'll tell you what though. Right now he's got a 9. Pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
This guy's
but
not
it's also on a really good team.
Like this guy's really not in the top team. Of the
but they weren't they weren't supposed to be good on paper. That's the thing.
No, they really weren't. I mean, look at their bottom six, and even
I mean,
even
when your top lines play together for 10 years,
fair. You can never write them off.
At least some
that,
of those guys.
That's true.
They've been together for a long time there.
I wish Coleman
but
was here.
That decor too. What's that decor? They didn't have what's it called?
McAvoy.
They didn't have McAvoy. McAvoy's back now though, and he's been.
Well, I know exactly, but like that decor at the beginning of the game or at the beginning of the season.
I know, and you know it was a Grizzly Carlo. Fuck, I can't name Derek Forbort.
Come on, you're telling me he's not one.
Hampus Lindholm. Hampus Lindholm stepped up huge in the beginning of the year. That's the guy I forgot.
Yeah, they had guys who they just had stepped guys up. Step up that needed to step up.
Maybe what if it was
Hampus? I forgot Hampus Lindholm existed.
What if Cassidy was the problem? Just there. They just needed a change in the room. I mean, he's been good in Vegas, right? Cassidy's real good in Vegas. But what if they needed Montgomery in Boston there? That's who's coaching there, right? Or am I dumb?
No, I – shit.
You might
be dumb. It's Jim Montgomery in Boston.
It is. We did a whole coaching episode.
Did multiple. Did the whole character. 5, I have Mark. This next one I'm going to get a lot of shit for, and I think it's just because of his name that I put him here. Sorry, that was my neighbors running by screaming and crying, I think. I'm not too sure. At 4, Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I kept him out of the top 5 because
I noticed that too.
At 4. He's at my 4, and I'll tell you who I thought.
I mean, to be fair, it's a meme 4. That. Meme 4s. How about this? Our top 5s all have to have meme 4s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Meme 4. There he is. I thought about putting Logan Thompson there. I thought about putting Tristan Jarry there, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. I put Vasilevskiy. Whatever. Might end up regretting it. At 3, I have Vitek Vanacek.
That's another team that has been really good in front of him too, though.
Yeah. He's got a 922. He's got a 922 as well, though. He's turning stuff away, but he's not facing many shots as other goalies. I'll give you that.
Yeah. If you got – you know, what's really funny about him, if you ever get the chance, check out his Instagram.
I will.
He's the most wholesome goalie in the league. Like, all of his captions, like another goalie on my team showed me this, and it was just so – it's, like, so funny. Like, who just be like, oh,
did
I
Sumo
had a great
show
game tonight? It was Sumo, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's – yeah, it's like, all of his captions, like, oh, I just had a great game tonight. And he would put his stats in there, like, the team played awesome. We got the win. Thanks, everyone. Like, stuff like that. It's just such a wholesome account.
Interesting. I kind of like that. It reminds me of Keith Kincaid used to do that when he was in New Jersey. He would post stuff like that on his Instagram all the time and his Twitter. I wonder if that's a tradition Vitek Vanacek wanted to keep when he went there, if that's just him in general. I bet it's just him in general. But on to number 2. DB's going to be real happy with my top 2. And number 2, Connor Hellebuck.
He's playing great.
Redemption year for him. Really. After last season, he wasn't great. The whole COVID thing, he spoke out against, you know, just all the mandatory restrictions in Canada. And I think that it really affected him being stuck in that little seclusion. No fans for certain points of last season, correct? The last season wasn't full fans the whole year, right?
No.
I don't believe it was, no.
Yeah, not to start the year, at least.
Not to start the year, especially in Canada. Yep. And my number one goaltender is it pains me to say this. It hurts me so bad for this to come out of my mouth. Ilya Sorokin.
It pains you to say it?
Pains me.
Does it pain you?
Because you're an Islanders fan, and I hate to give you guys credit. I do.
Why are we so good this year?
I like the Islanders because you guys are playing a defensive system that's working. You didn't change much between Trotz and Lambert, let's be honest. Stuff changed, but overall the scheme stayed similar. You guys are a defensive-minded team, but the execution under the new staff has been better than when it was under Trotz the last couple seasons.
I can agree with that. I mean, I just feel like we just shoot the puck more. I mean, maybe it's just Lambert telling them, or just them realizing after, you know, last year what happened.
You can't win if you don't shoot the puck.
Because, like, dude, last night they still lost, but they almost came back in the third period again. They had over 40 shots. Yeah. Sorokin had a tough night last night, though.
Sorokin had a tough night. Yeah, he did. Yeah, that was a tough one. But we'll move on to Coleman. Coleman, let's hear your top five from the goaltender himself. Let's see how it looks.
Yeah. Well, my top three, it's going to be a little different because mine have always been set in stone.
Let me guess.
For at least the past couple of seasons. Okay, you're going to get it right, but I'm going to start at number five. I said Ottinger, but I really couldn't narrow it down between Ottinger and Allmark just because of how Ottinger's played recently, where his game started to slip a little bit. Like, even in the wins, he hasn't really making all the saves that he needs to be making. Better Meanwhile, Allmark has just been, you know, on top of every stat in the league all season.
Well, yeah.
He's 14-1 on the year.
Yeah,
he has one loss.
That is crazy.
So I feel like – I know five might be a low for him, but it's just because he hasn't done it before. I love him in Buffalo. I hate that we let him leave.
Yeah, should have
but it's a pretty new thing for him to be that good. So we got to just keep seeing how it plays out.
Fair. I like that assessment. Okay, on to four.
My four is, again, as much as I want him to be in the top three, I have Connor Hellebuyck at four.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, that's fair. We'll see how this other top – I'm
meme four. That's a meme four. That's a meme four.
There's a name I'm thinking of right now that if it's in Coleman's top three, I'm thinking I'm going to break the window in front of me. So we'll see how this goes.
Well, my top three, they might change like between each other sometimes, but I've got Vazzy, Shesterkin, Sorokin.
God fucking damn it. Okay, through the window. Through the window.
Yeah.
Shesterkin.
I'm just going to ignore it.
I am still an avid supporter of him.
DB's just ending it all live on the podcast.
There's something about these Russian goalies.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 20, titled DB Ends Himself. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a little dark, but yeah. Shesterkin. Okay, Coleman, keep justifying. Got a ways to go.
I mean, he's still been one of the best goalies in the league this year.
What's he got, a 909? Maybe.
But
I thought he was in the eights.
There's no way he's in the eights. There's no chance he's in the eights.
Okay. You know what?
No, he is a 9-10. He's 11. He's 11-4-4 on the season with a 9-10 and a 267. He's not having the year he had last year.
But he's not having
a Vezina caliber year, but he's still playing well.
Yeah, and he can turn it around depending on how the team does.
I just think a goalie with that history like last year. He's still a top three.
Okay, that's fair. It's fair to not drop him out just based on how this season's not been as good as last year. It's still not bad.
Yeah.
But that's a team that I've heard is being watched closely. The Rangers are being watched from ownership very closely, and Gerard Gallant could be on the way out.
Really?
James Dolan. Dude, it's fucking James Dolan, dude.
That's true.
He's going to pinch every fucking penny.
You see what the fuck he's doing with the Knicks, too? Oh, my God.
He's such a fucking clown. This is an anti-James Dolan podcast, by the way.
Yeah, fuck James
Dolan. Throw him on the list. Put him up there with Dustin Brown.
I hate him for the Knicks, but I don't care because he doesn't own the Islanders. But
Wang in the snow. So, anyway.
Yeah,
speaking of goalies under 900, I did a little bit of searching into the upcoming free agent goalie pool because we talked about it last week, but we didn't really go into depth. And this is like the sub 900 fucking. This is like the sub 900 club. It's incredible. So I'll go over it real quick, and I'll be quick. Leading the pack for upcoming free agent goaltenders with a 922. These are just notable goaltenders, right? I didn't include the fucking backups, you know. With a 922 through nine games, you got Varlamov. He's 35 years old right now, too. Then with a 919, you have Tristan Jarry, who's a UFA this year. 17 games played. He's 11-3-1 with a 919 and a 275, coming off a $3.5 million per year contract. So I'm looking for him to get 5+. I think that's reasonable. I don't know if it's going to be in Pittsburgh.
I'm making a hot take right now. Islanders trade Varley at the deadline.
I think they should.
I could see it. Sorokin can handle that by himself.
Sorokin can handle it, and they've got
and there's teams that need that goaltending still.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's a few other guys on this list who are sub 900 right now, but typically aren't, who the Islanders could look at for a backup, especially with the goaltending coaching that they have. They have the greatest goaltending coach in the world. So Mitch Korn is truly phenomenal with goalies. With a 908, you have Cam Talbot. He's 4-7 through 13 games. James Reimer, 5-8, 903. He's 35 years old, so is Talbot. They're both, I mean, the goalie market this summer is not young. And then into the sub 900s. We'll just go in order of how many wins or games played, sorry, whatever. At 19 games played, you have Martin Jones. He's going to be a UFA if anyone's interested in a 12-5 goaltender who has an 888. How are you 12-5 and sub 900? I don't fucking know. Nothing quick. Who's 8-7? Lee's 8-7-1 with an 888 as well. Then you've got Antti Raanta, who's 4-2-0 with an 895. Then you've got Anderson, who's 5-3 with an 891. Frederick Anderson, by the way. And then you have Alex Nedeljkovic, who's 2-3 with an 881. That is the top goaltending market this summer.
I don't think he'd pull the trigger on Nedeljkovic. He's just looked like a dud in Detroit since he's gotten anywhere.
He's 27. That's the only draw about him here. Him and Jari are the only upcoming starting goalies who are going to be free agents. Nedeljkovic, not really a starter, but you get what I'm saying. that are under 30. So Tristan Jarry is going to have a lot of interest, and if he goes to test the market, there's no way he ends up back in Pittsburgh. There is zero chance.
Do they have the money for it?
That's exactly what the thing is. He makes 3.5 right now, but they got Jason Zucker, who's expiring.
They still got a lot of money locked up in those.
He makes 5.5 guys. So, I mean, I guess they have $9 million technically, but they're going to need a replacement for Zucker, and it's not going to be Kapanen. I'll tell you that much. Hat-trick the other night, and it doesn't mean shit. So. Yeah, that's the goaltending market right now. It's
okay, but every time Clayton talks shit about anything and any person on the planet, they normally have the best thing happen to them. So now Kapanen is going to have just a breakout for the rest of the season.
He already had the Penguins, best thing happen to him.
They also need to think ahead a little bit too, because next summer Jake Guentzel expires at his $6 million contract.
Oh,
and
shit.
He's not signing for $6 million again.
He'll get 10 plus without a doubt. Yeah, that's going to be wild. This summer, we're going to see a couple of those contracts. We got Timo Meier is going to be a free agent this summer, right? He's 26 years old. He'll be an RFA. So he's not going to be UFA, right? He's got 24 points in 28 games. He makes $6 million AAV, right, on his current contract?
Yeah.
But here's how they fucked themselves. The final year of his contract, he makes $10 million, meaning the qualifying offer next year has to be at least $10 million. Plus, I believe it's 5%. Yeah. Either 5 or 15. God, I hope for them it's 5. Because they can't – that's why Brent Burns is gone, I'm sure. $10 million is what they're going to be looking at. They're not going to be able to trade him. Who's going to say yes? And then DeBrincat has to make at least $9 million on a qualifying offer. And mind you, those are just both qualifying offers, right? So if Timo Meier signs fucking tomorrow, like I'm sure now he will, then it doesn't matter. But if they push him to that deadline and they have to qualify him, that qualifying offer that he gets is 1 year by over $10
million. Jesus fucking Christ. So
there's another fun fact for you. And then one more before we get off this topic. Raanta and Anderson are both UFAs in Carolina.
Ooh.
Time for them to completely revamp their goalies again.
They don't have to fucking do anything to their goalie. They just signed one for 4 years at about $2 million, who's been incredible.
Right, Kochetkov, yeah.
We've been incredible, and that's a cheap contract.
Yeah, but they got to have someone back him up. I wouldn't bring both back.
No, I don't know who you bring back. Do you bring back Frederick Anderson?
I don't think you bring any.
They can't finish a full fucking season, dude. They can't play. They can't finish a full fucking season without something in their legs getting fucked up. Exactly. Single.
Don't bring back any.
Age is getting to him.
You have Kochetkov. Yeah, you get Kochetkov, and then you just make it free agent goalie signing. I think.
Are there any backup goalies that are going to be available?
Yeah, Alexander Nedeljkovic, Cam Talbot, James Reimer, Jonathan Quick, Martin Jones. They're all really backups. In terms of actual backups, there's Craig Anderson. There's Connor Ingram. There's Kevin Lankinen, who had a really good night the other night. But I don't know what Nashville's plan is with Askarov not doing fantastic in the AHL. I don't know what they want to do. Yeah, and then there's a couple RFA goalies. There's Stu, there's Eric Shogren, there's Samsonov, Jeremy Swayman, and Mackenzie Blackwood.
Now, hang on a minute. What did you say about Askarov in the AHL this year?
Oh, God. I said he's not doing fantastic.
He has a 908 through 14 games.
I stand by what I said.
That's not bad numbers
DB?
At all.
DB?
That's not – 908 is not good.
908 is not bad.
It's
for
not
a rookie
good.
Goalie in the AHL?
It's not good. It's not bad. But I think that there's some concern about his glove hand getting to the NHL level. I'm a little concerned. That's all I'm going to say.
I think even if he's far away, I don't think it matters that much right now when you have UC Saros.
Was he in anybody's top five goaltending list this year? Oh, I was just checking. I just couldn't remember. Yeah,
no, I
agree.
He wasn't in DB. No, he wasn't in DB. No. He wasn't in mine. But he's still up there. He's definitely top 10.
I'm a Preds homer, and he wasn't in mine. No, he's definitely top 10. But I mean, even in – he's not having a bad year again. I'm not going to say he's having a bad year.
He has a 909 too, though.
He's not doing what he did. I didn't say Askarov was having a bad year. I just said he wasn't doing, he wasn't doing Wallstead type good. So,
yeah.
Wallstead looks like the better of the two. I'm going to be completely honest. I like Askarov. I like Wallstead. Right now, my vote's going Wallstead. As a Predators fan, my vote's going Wallstead.
Really? You're saying Wallstead with his 895?
Yeah, I am.
I don't know. The goal he had was sick. And I love Wallstead, too.
I didn't know he had a 905. I didn't know he had an 895. I take it back. I did. That one's one I take back. Coleman's out here with the stats, DB. What the fuck?
I know. He's all
you guys needed a stat guy.
Coleman's plugged in. He's not going to let us fuck up. Damn. I like it.
I
DB,
okay.
I'll let you start because I can hear you on Xbox.
I can't let you guys lie to the people.
No. What's it called? My goddamn Xbox started making noises, so I had to shut it off.
That's what I figured. That's what I was thinking. Last time we were at the end of the pod, and I hear him fucking with the remote. I was like, DB, are you on Xbox? He's like, yep. Top five defensemen in the NHL. DB, I will let you go.
Okay.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want a couple minutes to think about it?
I think how we should do this. I think we should all read our fives and then our fours. I think we should do it like that.
Okay, I'm going to need a second. I'm going to need a second here.
All
right.
So we can all discuss where we have these guys.
I didn't write any of this down.
Well, I'm more prepared on my first episode than you guys are
exactly,
for your
Coleman.
20th. Is this number
20? I'm prepped.
This is number 20. Coleman, why don't you give us a famous number 20 in the NHL right now?
Famous number 20?
Yeah, DB's a number guy. He really knows every single jersey number in the NHL. He really got me the other day. Wow.
I don't even think I can name a 20 right now.
I can't
off
name
the
top,
of my,
top
head.
Of my head.
Ryan Suter wore 20 in Minnesota.
Look at DB.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you learn that one?
Don't worry about it. I want to check that he actually did now.
I'm going to be.
I think he wears 6 now. Right?
No, I want to know if he. Did he
no,
wear
he wears 20 in Dallas.
Yeah. Wow. I do.
No, he wears 20 now.
My top five defensemen. I'm going to sound like such a fucking homer.
I have one where I sound like a homer.
I have two where I sound like a homer.
Well, I probably have both those guys, but.
Yeah, but for you, it's not much like a homer.
Yeah, it's
okay,
not
I'm
a homer.
Ready.
So I'm
really DB, are you ready?
Let's hear it.
You guys are going to shit on me for number five, so I'll go first.
Let's hear the five.
Number five on my list is from the Detroit Red Wings, defenseman Philip Ronick.
He's had a great year, but there's no chance he's a top five defenseman right now.
Okay, so I would if I had to, I would sub him out for Jacob Morrissey. Josh Morrissey. Fuck.
Yeah, wow. I like that pick a little bit better. I really like Hronik. He had that really nice streak that he had going, but
I think he's good
think
in his own.
Five.
I think
in my
he,
eyes, but he's just not.
That's fair.
He's
that's
not
fair.
All that.
You guys aren't gonna like my next one either. But Coleman,
let's
you
see.
Can go.
Well,
are we going?
You guys are gonna hate this.
We're going fives all around right now.
Yeah, we're going fives right now. You guys are gonna hate mine. I know he came back from injury recently. He's been on a tear though, Charlie McAvoy.
Fuck.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Fuck.
You're going to think my five's a little too weird, but I feel like it's too low. I'm going Noah Dobson. I think he's having a too great low. Year.
I like Dobson. I like Dobson.
I like Dobson at five. I like
Dobson at five. I do. That's a good one. I wish I would have thought of that or McAvoy. I can't believe I fucking missed McAvoy. I went for fucking Hronik. I'm changing Hronik to McAvoy, everyone. Forgot about him. I was going to put him at like two. McAvoy was going to be my number two, but I just
let's hear your four then.
My four is Erik Karlsson.
He's on my list too, but he's not at my four.
Call me your four.
My four is Rasmus Dahlin. I wanted to put him at three, but
Coleman, same buddy.
I don't want to be a homer.
Same buddy.
God. Oh god. Oh,
I'm Dahlin four.
Uh-huh. All right.
Clayton's gonna have Dahlin at one.
It's gonna be shit on Clayton time real soon.
Uh-huh.
At number three, I have from the Nashville Predators defenseman Roman Josi.
Again, he's on my list too, but he's not at three. I got Erik Karlsson.
I'm weird. I have Adam Fox at three. He's putting the goals in.
He did not
make
my list.
He's got 28 points right now, so that's fair. He's third in defensive points.
And is Karlsson first?
Karlsson's
in first. Dahlin's in two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Fox has been scoring. He scored the other night for the Rangers. He's put the puck in the net. He's doing what he needs to do to, you know, keep him a little bit relevant.
That's fair. A little bit relevant. I like it. Keeping Dolan off their toes. At number two, and this is where I lose my spot on the podcast, I have from the Buffalo Sabres, Rasmus Dahlin.
I don't hate that. I still liked – I would have put Dahlin at two if I had the courage to do that.
I have the courage to, and if I need to defend it, if you guys want me to defend it, I will defend it.
Oh, he's been great. I love
him. I mean, he's been great.
He's
I should
finally stepping into that
it,
role.
Like,
I think he's been better in his own end than Erik Karlsson. Oh,
definitely.
And that's why I put him there. He's only got 5 points less than Karlsson. I'm not saying he's, you know, on the same level or anything. Karlsson's having a great year, but in his own end, Dahlin's more dependable than Erik Karlsson, and he's not getting his points in the exact same fashion that Karlsson is. Karlsson gets sucked very low into the play a lot. He doesn't. There's nothing wrong with that if someone covers for you, but Karlsson is more of a strictly OFD, where I'd argue Dahlin's a two-way defenseman.
I think Dahlin has definitely started to grow into that two-way role where he wasn't much as before.
And I hope Power does too.
Mm-hmm. I hope he can learn. I hope Power can learn from Dahlin here.
Yeah, here's one more thing. I want to bitch about Dahlin real quick. Not bitch about him. I want to give him one more piece of credit. You ready?
Piece of credit.
No. I'm bitching about the coach.
Yeah, bitching some credit.
Dahlin plays with Samuelson.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Samuelson, who's young and a rookie, and, you know, I don't really have a full opinion on him yet. They gave Samuelson the left side. Rasmus Dahlin is a left-shot defenseman who usually plays the left side. He is playing on his offhand for the entirety of the season so far. Just want to say
besides the month that Sammy was out.
Yes, but let's look at this. Dahlin is a left-shot defenseman who's played left side for almost his whole time in Buffalo, I'd say. And he's playing on the right side with Samuelson because Power is the same hand as Dahlin. Yeah. So Power is playing left side second pair. But, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there before we all go into the rest
and
of
I think,
number twos.
And I think with that pairing, that's something that's helped Dahlin become better in his own zone because Samuelson is a very, very, like, lockdown defensive defenseman.
Yeah,
like, he doesn't get that, – that's why he didn't score his first goal until just last week.
You know who he reminds me of?
That's not his thing.
From his prime days, maybe Samuelson would be better. But already he's reminding me of Chris Tanev and Calvin DeHaan when DeHaan was in New York. DeHaan was really good, I would say. I still think DeHaan gets the short end of the stick because he's a defensive defenseman. Same with every defensive defenseman really gets the short end of the stick in terms of
they always do.
In terms of the thoughts around him. Oh, he's not a good defenseman because he's not putting pucks in the net. Well, you know, like I'm EA, for example. I mean, they got Calvin DeHaan at an 80. They got Edler in his prime was an 82. Tanev in his prime was an 83 or 84. These are top-end defensemen, you know? It's like Slavin and Pesci really get a little bit of a, you know, not quite as much thought as they can because they're more defensive-minded. Anyway, DB, I want to hear your number two.
My number two defenseman.
Yep.
With Erik Karlsson.
That's fair. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Like most of these guys, I see being very interchangeable right now.
Yeah,
at least the middle three. I think at least these middle three, because I think we all just had the middle same middle three here. So I have besides DB, because I have Roman Yossi too.
That's fair. He hasn't been as much like high in the stat in the points this year, but I think he's really honed in his at home defense too. He's become more well rounded, and he's been able to grow playing alongside now a better defenseman than he was starting the very beginning of the season with. Because the beginning of the season they had him on pair one, Ekholm on pair two, McDonough on pair three. So that was
who was he running it with there?
Fabbro on pairing one.
Oh yeah.
And then Carrier on pairing two, and then Rosin on pairing three. So that's awesome that the Preds have three good defensemen on the same side. Incredible. Great coaching.
They bring back PK.
Right side. Coleman, you just said you're number two. Yossi, DB got his number two. And
we all know our number one.
Count of three. I'll say our number one together. Three, two, one. Cal McCarr.
Adam Fox. No, Cal McCarr. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even want to say it. I knew it.
Coleman said Adam Fox, and for a second, I was shocked.
No, it's obviously McCarr. It's always going to be McCarr until he retires.
Okay.
Or until that one, all right, bud. That one Finnish kid comes up in the league. What's that one you like, Clayton? Kivihari, right?
Kivihari.
Yeah. Maybe he'll come give him a run for his money, but it's going to be McCarr for a long time.
I wanted to say one more thing about just a defenseman this year who's had a real good year, and I want to tire pump him down in Florida. With the absence of Ekblad for as long as he was out, and the permanent absence of Mackenzie Weegar, who's no longer there, Brandon Montour has 22 points in, I believe, 24 games. So I just wanted to tire pump him.
Don't remind me. What did we get for him in Buffalo?
Second
round pick? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the second got moved.
Nice.
I can't remember. Yeah. Him and Reinhardt are doing all right down there. You guys, DB, are you ready for forwards? I just made my list right now.
I'm ready.
All right, Coleman, we'll start with you at number five.
Oh. I'm going to defend myself with this one, but I've got standing at 6'6", Tage Thompson.
I like it. I don't have an issue with it.
There's not a guy with that size in the league right now with hands like his.
I'm with it.
Why are you fucking people like this? Sorry. Go ahead.
It's absurd. The way he's able to move the puck around at that size, it's...
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to compare him to Mario Lemieux, but, like, is there another guy with that size?
Who could do that?
Like that?
Yeah, Eric Lindros. Couple years.
Yeah.
Before he got his head knocked.
Before his head was rolling down a Philadelphia street.
People this summer, they were really shitting on that contract. And
I never shit on
that contract.
He's
living up to it now. I never did either.
We didn't shit on that contract on the pod either. DB didn't. Mm-hmm. And DB's not a Sabres fan, so he didn't even have bias against it. He just knew. So I'm a little upset that you put Tage at five, because I thought that I was going to be special and put Tage at five, but no, that's chill.
I think we just got Tages all around then.
Do we?
DB's like, I didn't really put a five. I don't really know.
No, he was just waiting to hear what we said.
DB goes,
no.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what fifth forward in the National Hockey League beside Matt Martin would have been my fifth, but I decided not to. Okay.
Yeah.
Matt Martin, DB, Ross Johnson.
DB, we'll start with you. We'll start with you for four. We'll go back around the horn.
Well, here's the funny thing. My number four, you guys are going to shit on me, but the Matt only Barzal. Person that's, no, that's doing something from this Florida trade, the Florida-Calgary trade, in my opinion. I mean, Kadri stepped it up, but Matthew Tkachuk's had 35 points.
Kadri stepped it up. Kadri wasn't even in the fucking trade. But I
guess... Oh, yeah, sorry. My bad. Free agency. My bad.
You're
yeah.
All good.
Out of this whole ordeal with all the players swapping between Florida and Calgary, I think the one who's kind of fit in, especially from the trade, has been Matthew Tkachuk.
He was close to making my list, but I decided against it for my four pick.
There were two people who were close to making my list that didn't, and one is Nathan MacKinnon, who probably should have, and the other is Matthew Tkachuk, who probably should have, but
I
didn't
the take same
either
thing.
One. Tkachuk has 35. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right now, I just want to go over this real quick. Tkachuk is in a three-way tie for fifth place in points in the NHL right now. He's tied with Pasternak and Sidney Crosby with 35 points. So, I mean, for a guy who's described as a power forward, and is described as playing a physical, heavy net front game. 35 points, that is some hard work. So,
yes, sir.
Speaking of Sidney Crosby, he's my four.
Okay.
I don't believe in Sidney Crosby, so he's not on my list, and he wasn't even considered.
He just doesn't exist.
I don't believe in him. I think he's just Carey Price 2.0, as I call him in Vegas when he got all fucking pissed off at me. That was cool. Wow. Met him in Vegas, by the way. I said, hey, are you Carey Price? And this red, you red-nosed piece of shit, you drunk fucking concussed bitch. He's not on the pod, sorry. That's my Dustin Brown.
I don't think we're ever getting Crosby on here anyways, bud.
Jeez. What is that about?
Because he wouldn't want to.
What is that about? Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't want to be the cover of NHL. You think
he doesn't do anything.
If there was one NHL star who I think would say yes to our podcast, I know exactly what would be.
Who?
Fucking Zegras, without a doubt.
Totally. I don't know. People probably ask him that shit all the time.
No, but if there was one star who were to say yes, I could see it being him for reasons just getting on here and dicking around. Because I think he's got similar joke style to us. So, not that he would make them, but you know, maybe post career, if we're doing this thing 30 years down the fucking road, then we'll hit him up. My fourth is Leon Draisaitl. So I thought about going higher, but I went here. He's going to be a little pissy about it, I'm sure, but you know, it's fine. And then I'll go with 3-2. We'll go back around the horn. Coleman next, DD then. With 3, I went David Pastrnak, who's in a contract year with 35 points in 24 games, coming off a 6.67 per year contract that's going to get probably doubled. Coleman, your turn.
That's the other guy I wanted to get on my list with Tkachuk, but they just didn't. They couldn't crack it here because I had to have Jason Robertson on here with the year he's having right now.
I'm really curious for your top two, but we'll see.
Want to guess?
Nope. DB, your turn.
I got at 3, Nikita Kucherov.
Oh, that's a good one. He's fourth in the league in scoring right now with 37 points. So that's a solid pick. DB, who's your 2?
Now it's Jason Robertson.
There it is.
I almost put Robertson at 2, but I decided to put Draisaitl there.
Motherfucker. He's got fucking McDavid and Draisaitl at 1 and 2.
Of course I do.
Jesus,
I don't even
Christ.
Have Draisaitl on my top 5.
They're just the best.
Well, wait, clearly not. I just realized you have Robertson at 2 and haven't said Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Unless you have Draisaitl at 1.
Yeah, Draisaitl at 1, no McDavid.
I'm sorry, McDavid doesn't count. He gets his own division. At number 2, at number 2, I got fucking RoboCop. And at number 1, I have Mick Jizzy.
Okay, I think we all have the same consensus number 1 pick.
Yeah. That's cool. We have the same number 1 for we have the same number 1 for offense. We have the same one for defense, and we do not have the same number 1 for goaltending.
I don't think any of us had the same one.
No, we didn't. But So we're at the 46 minute mark right now. Well, actually, we're at the 42 minute mark because we started at 3. We're gonna go for a few more minutes. We won't hit an hour because then we have to turn it off and turn it back on again. So, anybody got anything they really want to talk about? I have a couple things I have here, but anybody have?
Did you want to talk about the Hintz extension?
That's one of the things I wanted to talk about, yes.
Let's talk about the Hintz extension. It was amazing. Great contract. I think it's a great contract.
I'll give you his last year's stats, and then I'll give you this year. Last year, 80 games played, 72 points. 37 goals, 35 assists. It's pretty good, right? That's really good. Almost a 40 spot in each category. This year, he's got 30 points in 25 games. So he's on pace to shatter last year. He's on pace for 100, right? Someone do that quick math. Because if he plays 75 games, there's 90. And he's averaging 6 points every 5 games. So that would be 96 through 70. That would be 96 through 80. So he'd be on pace for probably
100.
99.
Yeah.
So he could hit 100. Imagine him and Robertson hit 100.
That's crazy.
Did Sagan and Ben ever hit 100 together?
I don't think they did. Maybe when Ben won the Hart.
Yeah, but I don't think Sagan put up 100 that year.
How are they paying everyone? I just realized this.
They're paying everybody because Joe Pavelski is a free agent this summer. So that's freeing up 5.5.
Do you know what year Ben won the Hart?
I think Ben won the Hart in 2000.
16?
Call me stupid, but I thought he won the Hart in 2012 or 2014.
Maybe 2014. I mean, he had in 2015-16, he had 41 goals, 48 assists for 89 points, and that's his career high.
That's got to be it then.
Probably.
That's his career high. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. 89 points. But, you know, it's when Jim Nill came out and said that Ben Sagan are a problem, not doing it.
Sagan had Sagan's career high was his first year in Dallas, 84 points in 2014.
So you're telling me that Rupe Hintz and that Jason Robertson is probably going to pass these guys' career high.
At what is at, he, 21?
22 years old. 21
22?
Years old. 21 or 22. He's something around there. There was one other thing I really wanted to discuss. We covered all the things that I had written down to talk about, except the NHL expanding past 32 teams in the near future.
Ooh, yep. I want to, yep.
So Chris Johnston, yeah, he said that it was being discussed that there's been talk about the NHL expanding past 32 teams as soon as three seasons from now. I don't know what this means. I have an idea that's not going to stick anywhere. It's a genius idea if I do say so myself. I doubt it'll stick. I'll tell you that and then we'll discuss. I think the NHL should go to 36 teams. And I think they should make an idea here where every 2 years they have an expansion draft. So starting in 2026, I think is probably most likely, right? 2026. There's one in 26. There's one in 28. There's one in 30. There's one in 32. You roll it out over 8 years instead of doing two each year. Or you do two each year, but I don't know how the fuck that's going to work in the current league. I mean, that's going to be a lot of guys. That's gonna be a lot of people getting moved.
The only problem I always see with the NHL expanding like that is the potential that it will like dilute the skill level a little bit by so many guys moving around, having to spread out across more teams. But it does give more guys the opportunity to get into bigger roles. Is the other good
and
thing.
And it also gets more players with talent, or just when the game expands, they're probably trying to expand the game more, put them in non-hockey or I mean, it's obviously one in Houston, one in Quebec City, one in Hartford.
Those are the only two I had.
Hartford doesn't have an arena right now. That's the only thing.
Yeah, they Quebec's do.
Not one they that's NHL size.
14K.
They could always bring it back down here to Atlanta.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, definitely. I was trying to figure out a way to respond to that, but I none that were appropriate for the podcast. Yeah, it's pretty hockey
still fans.
Atlanta.
Not a lot
there
of
still
them
fans.
Here.
Yeah, how many people do you get at your games? More than the Thrashers, right? I think the Thrashers got 7, right? 7, 8 maybe. I mean, people like to shit on the Coyotes, but the one thing about the Coyotes is they've made way more of an out. They get fans in the right moments, but they also weren't located centrally. Like Atlanta was located. I'm pretty sure they played in downtown Atlanta.
They did.
That's a central.
Yeah, they played. No. Yeah. They play the same stadium that the Atlanta Hawks play at now.
Yeah. So, Trae Young, my boy. Yeah, so, and the Coyotes have made such an outreach to the community, and this is the one more thing I want to discuss before we all get, you know, go off, and I hate to – Arizona Coyotes homer. I hated the Coyotes for years. Now I'm starting to kind of like them because they're getting players I like. Right, I like Keller. I like Schmaltz. You know, I like the goaltending there. I like Edgemelka. I like Ingram. I like the prospects. I really like the JJ Moser story. I think he's been fantastic. I like their prospects in Genther. I like Cooley. I think he's a fucking phenomenal player to watch. I like Dill Armstrong a lot. I think he's doing an amazing job. And I watched the town hall the other day. I watched the meeting that Bettman flew in for, and I watched all these people speak. I watched Shane Doan talk. I watched Bill Armstrong, I watched Bettman, I watched community people from the community for and against it. And the Coyotes have done a really good job with bringing hockey to a market that it wasn't going to be seen in Phoenix in general, the desert, but B, minority fan groups. And they've done a really good job connecting with the local minority population in Phoenix. And I think if the NHL ever wants to grow, it needs to continue to do that. And a team like Phoenix is instrumental in that growth to make it a sport that continues to grow through different cultures. That's the only way you're going to grow the sport.
100%.
Absolutely.
So props to the Yotes, and I hope this whole arena deal works out. And if it does,
it seems like it is 7-0 unanimous. Come on.
I know. They got to vote, though. The city of Tempe gets to vote now. So
all the people that were talking at the meeting sounded stupid.
I know, dude. There was this one guy who came up and opposed it, and he could, I don't know if he could count to 10. But yeah, it was really fucking bad. He was like, they were all talking about like low income housing and stuff. Like, yeah, it's important. NHL arena have to do with low income housing. It's going in a fucking landfill. Yeah. It's either it stays a landfill or
because they're building low. District. They're building the low income housing with right. the arena deal.
Right. Yes. Exactly. And there's deals to get there's jobs. It's creating jobs. The Coyotes yeah, jobs.
I know. I 100% agree.
They don't pay like shit. The people who I know who work for the Coyotes say they pay better than the retail jobs that I've been working. So
they're decent paying jobs. So what, you usher a Coyotes game? So what, you usher a Coyotes game, you make $15 an hour and you're an old person that's already on Social Security and all that. Yeah, you get what? A couple $100 a week
exactly.
for doing the home games? And then exactly. plus concerts and shit?
Yep, and it gives Tempe a concert venue. It gives a venue to for all these. I mean, those college people will show up for these events on a dude, Wednesday night. There's not much to
fucking do. They have two rinks going, or isn't it? It's two rinks, a seat, or like a 4,000 seat theater. So like they have a concert the same night as the Coyotes game.
Yep, it's gonna be an amazing venue, and it sucks that it's there after I move. Of course, you know, I'll be flying back, hanging out with you, DB, and wherever I live,
yeah.
there's gonna be an NHL team there wherever I live throughout the rest of my life. It's my one deal. Has to be an arena within an hour.
Within an hour, dude, I'd want to be in the same city.
Well, but if like Denver, if I lived in northern Colorado, that'd be fine. A quick drive on the 25 true. To catch the Avs. However,
that's true.
The Avs are fun. Oh man, there's so many cool teams to watch right now. The league is just becoming so much fun. Anyway, anybody have an idea of a fourth city that they could expand? Kansas City? Would they do Kansas City again?
We don't need another Central unless you move Arizona back to the fucking Pacific.
No, you would need every division, because if they do four teams, you need one in every division.
Hartford right. in the Metro, Quebec in the Atlantic, Houston in the
Central.
Pacific, what would you do? Would you do Portland, Oregon?
No.
Would you do one of my favorite places that we ever played, DB? Would you do Boise, Idaho?
No, hell no.
There's not enough fans there.
Yeah,
the Steelheads. The Steelheads pack out 5,000. Yeah,
Salt Lake City. Do you do Salt Lake City at that point? No. Like, what the fuck do you do? What do you do?
Salt Lake City could.
They have an arena.
Really get the fans.
They have a basketball arena.
Yep.
They have a hockey team there right now that pulls okay crowds. You know, for ECHL. Yeah. We have 26 seconds before this thing's about to time us out. So, Coleman, welcome to the pod.
Time us out in an hour.
Yeah. It times out in an hour. Coleman, welcome to the pod. I think this is one of our best episodes. I hate to toot our own horn, but we look forward to I know I'm looking forward to having you, and I'm sure DB is
too. I'm looking forward to being here.
Hey, welcome on.
All right, Xbox time it is. See you guys in the party.
Yep.
All right, see everybody. Thanks for listening.